ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नस्तत्रेषु भवद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवाया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamila delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Text number 26. Arshalil. Aho. Jaltalama. Dear John, Arshalu. Aho,
aho
me,
me
paramam,
paramam
kashtam,
kashtam
abod,
abod
avichit atmana,
avichit atmana
yena,
yena
viplavitam,
viplavitam
brahma,
brahma
vrishavyam,
vrishavyam
Jayat Atmana,
Jayat Atmana.
Aho me paramam kashtam,
Aho me paramam kashtam.
Abud avijit Atmana,
Abud avijit Atmana.
Yena viplavitam Brahma,
Yena viplavitam Brahma.
Vrishavyam jayat atmana,
Vrishavyam jayat atmana.
Aho me paramam kashtam,
Aho me paramam kashtam.
Abud avijit atmana,
Abud avijit atmana.
Yena viplavitam brahma,
Yena viplavitam brahma.
Vrishavyam jayat atmana,
Vrishavyam jayat atmana.
Aho me paramam kashtam,
Aho me paramam kashtam.
Abud vijit atmana,
Abud vijit atmana.
Abud avijit atmana,
Abud avijit atmana.
Yena viplavitam
brahma,
Vrishavyam jayat atmana,
Vrishavyam jayat atmana.
Aho me paramam kashtam,
Aho me paramam kashtam.
Abhut avichit atmana,
Abhut avichit atmana.
Yena viplavitam
brahma, Yena viplavitam
brahma. Vrishavyam jayat atmana,
Aho me paramam kashtam,
Aho me paramam kashtam.
Abud avijit atmana,
Abud avijit atmana.
Yena viplavitam
brahma, Viplavitam Brahma
Vishayam Jaya Atmana
Vishalyam Jayatatmana. You can't hear? You? Oh, really? No. Aho. Alas.
Me.
My.
Paramam.
Extreme.
Extreme.
Kashtam.
Kashtam.
Miserable condition.
Abhut.
Became.
Avijita Atmana.
Because my senses were uncontrolled. Yena.
By which.
Viplavitam.
Destroyed.
Brahma. All my Brahminical qualifications. Vrishalyam through Asudrani, a maidservant. Jayata, being born.
Atmana,
by me.
Translation.
Ajamila said, alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahmana and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The men of the higher classes, the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, do not beget children in the wombs of lower class women. Therefore, the custom in Vedic society is to examine the horoscopes of a girl and boy being considered for marriage to see whether their combination is suitable. Vedic astrology reveals whether one has been born in the Vipravarna, Kshatriyavarna, Vaishyavarna or Sudravarna, according to the three qualities of material nature. This must be examined because a marriage between a boy of the Vipravarna and a girl of the Sudravarna is incompatible. Married life would be miserable for both husband and wife. Consequently, a boy should marry a girl of the same category. Of course, this is trigunya, a material calculation according to the Vedas. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. A devotee is transcendental. And therefore, in a marriage between devotees, the boy and girl form a very happy combination.
Suja 品性的女孩，那对夫妻双方来说都相。
Omagyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're hearing we're hearing the history of Ajamila, and we heard how he'd been saved from being taken to Yamaraj by the grace of the Vishnu Dutas. And he wanted to show his gratitude to the Vishnu Dutas. But as he approached them, after offering his obeisances to them, he was going to speak some words thanking them and glorifying them, but they disappeared. And Prabhupada explained to us that the reason for this was to allow Ajamila to feel more separation from the Lord and from the Lord's devotees. So this verse we're reading today is the beginning of Ajamila offering his prayers and words to thank the Lord. He's, as we mentioned previously, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, we repent that we had wasted our time in material life. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we realize the stupidity of our behavior in material world, serving the senses and just simply engaged in all kinds of activities for the satisfaction of the senses, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness and envy. These are all the characteristics of the material world. So Ajamila is describing how he repents that although he was born in a good family, he had a good birth in a Brahmana family, and as a young man, young child, he was good, well-behaved, dutiful, but he became a victim of his senses. He became attracted to a low-class woman. And in this way, his spiritual life, his progress, was ruined until this last moment at the end of his life when he was saved by the Vishnu Dutas. So Ajamila is describing how he regrets that he allowed himself to be the victim of his senses, the uncontrolled senses. This is a I was speaking the other day about the greatest enemy, this lust. You know, and if we become the servant of lust, then it takes us into many miserable conditions of life. So in the very beginning in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is describing the yoga process, and he is talking to Arjuna about the importance of controlling the mind and senses. Of all the senses, the tongue is the most difficult to control. Very difficult to conquer the tongue. We say every day, Sharera avijijao jatindriyate jive phule vishaya shagare. We all know these prayers. This prayer, right? But the meaning is very special. That of all the senses, this tongue is the most difficult to control. Very difficult to conquer over the tongue. Sometimes when I go to the yoga clubs and give talks, sometimes the yoga studios to the different people studying yoga, I will ask them, which of the senses is the most difficult to control? It's very hard for them to guess that it's the tongue. But it's the tongue which is the most difficult. Pulsating, vibrating. Tongue is active in two activities, speaking and tasting. We like to eat and we like to speak. And these are the two activities we take a lot of pleasure in. Even when we're not speaking and tasting, our tongue is still throbbing. Waiting for the chance to get an opportunity to be used, for us to use it. So it's very difficult to conquer over the tongue, but very important to conquer over the tongue. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, you cannot be a yogi if you eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. We have to conquer over the tongue. You eat too much, you get diabetes. You eat too little, you get tuberculosis. You get diseased. We have to control the tongue. And not just only overeating or undereating, but we have to eat spiritual food. Krishna prasada. That is real control of the tongue. When we use the tongue to taste the food offered to the Lord, then that is purifying. And when we use the tongue to chant the glories of the Lord, then that is also purifying. But the same tongue can take us into hell. So we have to conquer the tongue. Why is the tongue so important? Because the tongue is connected to the belly. When we eat too much, then puts more weight on the belly. And when there's more weight on the belly, then it puts more weight on the genital. And in this way, sex desire increases. So Ajamila, although he was born in a Brahmana family, he became degraded. He became attracted to a woman who was in an intoxicated state. Actually, he had seen this woman embracing another man. And they were both drunk. They were both intoxicated. But somehow Ajamila became attracted to this woman. And although he had a chaste wife of his own at home, he already had a nice chaste wife from a Brahmana family. But somehow he became attracted to this low-class woman. This is the nature of the uncontrolled mind and senses when we are the victim of lust. That we will do these ridiculous things. We'll put ourselves into the most unfortunate, miserable condition. Prabhupada explains in the purport that when a man of a Brahmana Varna associates and mixes with a woman of a Sudra Varna, then they cannot be happy. They will simply be miserable with each other. So this is what happened to Ajamila. Although Bhagavatam doesn't talk about the misery of Ajamila, talks about his degradation, that he became more and more attached to this woman. He gave up all of his spiritual practices, kicked his own chaste wife out of the house, and neglected his mother and father, and became totally absorbed and infatuated with this low-class woman, and became a drunkard. He would gamble and steal and everything. He'd do everything to serve the senses. Because he became degraded simply by lust. So this lust had put Ajamila into this miserable condition. So Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport here how in the Vedic system people will marry by astrological, they will consider the chart. In the Vedic system anyway, they would consider the chart. And then they would look at the chart, the birth chart of the man and the woman, and from that they can tell if it's compatible marriage, if they will be happy together, if there will be children or not. All of these things can be understood from the astrological chart. But Prabhupada says this is a material calculation. But Prabhupada points, he says that for devotees, it doesn't matter. Prabhupada at the end of the purport, he said, a devotee is transcendental. Marriage between a boy and girl form a very happy combination. Prabhupada is saying, devotee is transcendental. So, this is a condition. We know ourselves that we're not always so transcendental. We can easily be influenced by the modes of nature. We're not so transcendental. If we are transcendental, then you can live in any ashram, you can live with anyone peacefully. If you are both transcendental, not, that means both have to be transcendental, both the husband and the wife, they have to be transcendentally situated. Then they can combine together for the service of Krishna. But if they're not transcendental, that means they're under the modes of nature. At Kali Yuga, we're not Brahmanas, we're all Sudras. Right? We're all Sudras anyway. We could argue like this. We could say, well, in Kali Yuga, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan, everybody is Sudra or lower. We're all, you know, there's no Brahmanas, Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, we're all unqualified. So it doesn't matter, can marry anyone, we're all Sudras. But we develop Brahminical qualities. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we do start to develop transcendental qualities. So ideally, man and woman, husband and wife, they should be on an equal level. Then the marriage can be successful. If they're not on an equal level, then it can be very difficult. For example, if the woman is very eager to do devotional service and the man is not favorable, then it's very difficult for the woman how she can do it, how she can be devotee. The husband will always complain, you're always chanting, I don't want to eat vegetarian food, I want meat, and like this, it will have many things like this. The husband will say, I want you to come out with me to party and like that. And the wife says, no, I want to go to Mangal Arati. I want to sleep early and get up in the morning and go to Mangal Arati. You know, they have very different ideas. And it can work the other way too. Sometimes it's the husband who's devoted and the wife is not interested. The wife is sitting at home all day playing computer games and she doesn't want to come to the temple. Some women are like that. One man told me his wife is always playing computer games and she doesn't come to the temple much at all. He's not really interested to chant. And the husband wants to go for kirtan. So these challenges are there. It's difficult in Kali Yuga. Very difficult. But we have to be very careful. Prabhupada's in married life is like going to a feast and fasting. Yeah, you go to a feast, a big feast, many nice preparations, lots of food, many good things are all there to eat, and you fast, right? That is married life. Married life means opportunity is there for sense gratification. Yes, you have opportunity, you could enjoy sense gratification. But if we do not control the senses, then we will get problem. We will be degraded. So very important that you have to control the senses. You have to be very cautious in married life. But married life is certainly much safer than other ashrams. To be a brahmachari or a sannyasi, then it's very difficult. There's always temptation from the opposite sex. There's always attraction that, oh, they look so nice, oh, their life is so easy, so comfortable. The brahmachari and sannyasi, they have to go around and live by begging and preaching, and they have to travel a lot. They cannot just stay in one place, they have to go for preaching work. And so sometimes you think grihastha life must be easier, they have a nice home, can live peacefully and worship Krishna. So like that, one can be attracted. Brahmachari and sannyasis, they're prone to fall down. But in household of life, one is more secure because one has his home and he has his wife and he has shelter, he has, you know, opportunity there to associate with each other and satisfy their senses in Krishna consciousness. So this is encouraged. Prabhupada would encourage the young devotees that get yourself married. In the beginning, Prabhupada even arranged some marriage for devotees. He would arrange their marriage and he would perform the yajna. But after some time he stopped because he found that there was always so many problems. The boy and the girl were arguing, family problems, the fighting, and sometimes they would leave each other, separate, and then marry somebody else. So Prabhupada became very disappointed that they couldn't follow properly. So he said, you arrange your own marriage. I didn't want to get involved anymore. He said, you arrange marriages yourself. Now, in these days, we see at present time our society is much more mature. And things like marriages, it's not the business of sannyasis, it's the business of grihasthas. The grihasthas and the vanaprasthas, they should arrange for the marriage of the single girls. That they should do this. And we have, like in USA now, there's one group called Grihastha Vision Team, GVT, Grihastha Vision Team. And they're helping many grihastha couples with any problems they may have like that, and they're also helping single women to be married, and these different things are going on. Like in Chaupati Temple in Bombay, they have also the grihasthas arrange for people who want to get married, and they will make suitable arrangements. They will find qualified people like this. It's not the business of the sannyasi or the guru to do these things. This is for the grihasthas and the vanaprasthas, people who have experience of these things and who know the problems, and they can understand the problems of these things, so they can arrange nicely for this. So in the beginning, our society, we didn't have such people, so Prabhupada had to do these things himself. But later on, he let other people take over this responsibility. So this is the idea. Ajamil is regretting that even though he was married, still he fell down and became attracted to low-class women. So sometimes men are like that. They're so lusty that even they have a nice wife at home, one woman is not enough. They want another one. So have to be very careful, very important, that one should be trained in the very beginning. The man should be trained as a brahmachari and the woman should be trained to be chaste and faithful. That is very good. I was reading the other day, one girl, she was describing why she got married herself. She said, if I was working in a professional office, in an office with this, I would be taking orders from so many men. Right? You get a job, you work in an office or shop, and you take orders from so many men. So she said, I think it's better to just simply serve one man and take orders from him, rather than to have to serve a lot of different men in the office, in the company. So that's one reason for women to get married. Interesting. Okay, we will stop there. Any questions? Comments? Come on. Ask. Because in married life there's an opportunity for sense gratification. You know? There's always the opportunity. You're living with a woman, and men and women are living together. So there's opportunity that you could have unrestricted sense pleasure. You may be thinking this is married life, that means unrestricted sense pleasure. But it's not. That's not married life, that's grihamedi life, that's animal life. If you're having unrestricted sense pleasure, that is like animals. Even the animals, they're controlled by nature. Humans have to learn to control So, Prabhupada said, married life is like going to a feast and fasting, because in married life there is an opportunity to enjoy a lot. But if you know, if you go to a big feast and you eat too much, then you'll get diarrhea, you regret it. In the same way, if you enter into household life and you have unrestricted enjoyment, you try to enjoy without rules and regulations, then you will regret it. You will not feel happy. So you have to learn, we have to learn to control. Just like you go to a feast, you know, if you fat, you don't eat. You know that if you eat, you get sick, you know, something. So you say, I'm not going to eat. So married life is like that. You have to control. You have to be trained. Before entering into married life, one should be trained first to control the senses. Then can live peacefully. If you marry somebody who is not trained as a brahmachari, or the woman is not trained to be chaste, then the marriage will not be very good. If the woman is not chaste, then she's talking all the time, moving with different men and laughing and joking with men, and you know, trying to attract men's attention, and she's not satisfied with one husband, that's not good. And if the man is not trained as a brahmachari, if he's always, you know, running after many different women like this, then also the wife will be disturbed, then she will complain. So like that, both have to be qualified, have to control the senses. So, is it clear? Well, my God, you have to see if the devotees are pure. If the devotees are transcendental, if they're in control of their mind and senses, then they will be they will live together peacefully. Yeah, and they also have to fast. They have to. It means they have to control their senses. You know, the fact that they're devotees means that they accept the need to control the senses. We have rules and regulations. And these rules apply in married life also. We don't say unrestricted sex, you know, but that we want to have sex, and sex is to have a child. And if you want to have a child, there's a prescribed method to do it. There's a garbhodan samskara, a particular time in the month, in a particular manner. First of all, you purify yourself by chanting 50 rounds or something, chant many rounds, and then in this way then you can attract a very pure soul for a child. You know, when you have children, you want to have good quality children. So it depends on the quality, the consciousness of the parents at the time of conceiving the child. So the Vedas describe the science so that you can get good children. But if you're, you know, if you're intoxicated or drugged or something and you conceive a child, then what kind of child will you get? You know, if you're not married and you're having a relationship with a woman outside of marriage, then you conceive a child, what kind of child? It won't be the same, because there's no religious principles there. So this is the idea. That even when you're married, even in the married life, then still there has to be control. There's auspicious days to conceive a child and inauspicious days. You know, like on a holy day, like Janmashtami or Ekadasi, you should not conceive a child that day. That's not a good day to conceive the child. You have, everything is scientific. And then you get a good child. Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.